Our guest is Cameron Brandt, Director of Research at Emerging Portfolio Fund Research, EPFR. Joining us with us live here, or joining us live, hopefully with some pearls of wisdom. Cameron, thank you very much for taking out the time. Well, the advance by the military in Ukraine on ground that's been controlled by Russia would seem to be good for the euro. I mean, it could be good for a lot of people as well, but the euro is advancing this morning. Just your thoughts on that as we come out of the weekend.
Well, it's certainly extremely impressive what Ukraine has been able to achieve. As with everything in life, being careful not to overreact may be the real point here, both in terms of them advancing beyond their supply lines, which they're certainly talking as if they understand. But also, this is going to encourage those who want a negotiated settlement, even if it means the Ukraine not getting back everything it's lost, so that life can go back to some semblance of normal. So I think after this burst of euphoria is over, we'll sort of some thornier questions both in Ukraine and among its supporters in Europe will raise their heads.
But you see, the thing is, ultimately, if you push Vladimir Putin into the corner, he may reassess his military campaign thus far, and it could actually, unfortunately, result in more, let's say, aggressive actions from Moscow, not least, of course, the N-word.
That's true. I'm not in the camp that thinks that Russia will turn to nuclear weapons, but I would qualify that by saying that what looked extremely unlikely earlier in the conflict, which was the Ukraine retaking the Crimea, is starting to look less unlikely, and that really would keep pressure on Putin and his inner circle.
Yeah. Well, it's probably too soon, to really be playing it. As you mentioned in your opening comments, Europe still looks like a kind of rocky terrain. Let's talk a little bit more about the big macro picture, and particularly with the U.S. The bond market there seems to be suggesting that the Fed could pull off a soft landing. In addition to the five-year tips that I mentioned a few moments ago, the five-year inflation swap rate is down to 2.52%. Now, that is suggesting that there's better times ahead. Do you buy it?
I'm not sure I buy it, but I agree with you that a lot of investors do believe that that's a likely outcome. One of the things, though, that I've been paying a bit of attention to recently, and has really slipped under the radar screen for some time, is the fact that in addition to the interest rate hikes, the Fed is also running down its balance sheet. Now, the amounts in the general scheme of things have not been that big, and certainly nothing to deter focus on interest rates.
It's like an invisible specter out there, isn't it?
Right. And September 1 was the date that certainly in the timetable they released earlier this year was when that jumped from $47 billion a month to $95 billion. And we did see a reaction in flows to mortgage-backed funds and real estate funds this week.
Now, for the first time in over 6 years, you're pointing out that equity funds with ESG or SRI mandates have posted outflows. Now, that's three consecutive weeks of that. You tantalizingly say that, but you don't tell us why.
A good question, because and there's no sort of one reason, I think, more an issue of
dire need
about concern about what the new European regulations mean, the fact that Florida, major state here in the U.S., has sort of moved against it. A fair amount of bad publicity about what they call greenwashing, and also performance. ESG funds have not been outperforming their non-ESG peers, and they usually come with a higher cost. But that some of that was true before this year, and then really before the third quarter, and people were willing to overlook it. That seems to have changed.
Yeah, well, the need is out there for more energy now, and so people sometimes setting aside some of the loftier goals for sort of meat and potatoes needs. That's one thing. If we look at the ways that you're playing, your current view of the world, what's near the top of the list?
Well, certainly what the picture that we're seeing, we study fund flows. In the developed markets, it's stepping up a search for income. So even though bond markets have been somewhat volatile and under pressure, there's a lot of demand for sovereign debt now that it's yielding more than a few basis points, even if that yield is under the rates of inflation, and dividend equity funds remain extremely popular. In the emerging market space, basically big is good. Russia's obviously on the sidelines at the moment, but China equity funds continue to get, frankly, surprising levels of inflows. There's more interest in Brazil now that expectations are that a proven centrist may be in office by the end of the year. And we've seen a marked uptick in interest in India, which is shared on both sides. Diversified fund managers are increasing their exposure to that market, and we're seeing a marked pickup in flows into dedicated India equity funds.
Cameron, it's something which happens. There's always this old adage that, India is going to do very well, and in 10 years' time, India will do very well. It constantly is jammed tomorrow. And, of course, people say then, this time it's different. Is it?
I think the question you raise is very valid. In the short run, it's slightly different because it's fairly hard to think of a stage being set the way COVID last year set the stage for India to bounce back. So you're getting some there's some real pent up demand. Comparisons are extremely favorable. But yeah, I think longer term, you do need to be cautious. India does have its demographic dividend, but that won't last forever. And, economic policy continues to be statist despite Prime Minister Modi's, I wouldn't say lip service, but, general enthusiasm for free markets.
Cameron, always a pleasure. Have a great day. Have a great week as well. That's Cameron Brandt, their Director of Research at Emerging Portfolio Fund Research, EPFR, getting his take on the market.